Clarify, you support us in a huge way. So let's get that straight first of all. For some reason, I decided to bring this huge clunky laptop just with the lack of resources. We're from down south. Don't want to incriminate myself by saying exactly which state we've come from to get here, but it's down. So thank you so much, guys, for having us. We really appreciate being able to share with you this morning. So as Julie said, my name's Scott and my wife, Jen. We're part of Youth With A Mission, YWAM, some people call it, which is a mission organisation that is really focused on making disciples and really getting the gospel into the most challenging, unreached places in the earth. So we have bases literally in every country just about of the world, and really a focus on getting Bible translation into the remaining languages that don't have a Bible, and also getting the gospel into the remaining unreached parts of the world. So, I was just going to start off just with a brief kind of introduction about us, a small encouragement about the church and what's happening with the church in the Middle East, and then we'll give you just a brief report of what's been happening with our ministry in the Middle East as well. So I do have a slide up there. I might just give you the cue to go to the next slide when I get there, if that's okay. So, yep, we'll jump into the next one. Yep, perfect. Yeah, so this is our family, 6 children. Pretty busy, but we love our kids so much. We've really been in the missional, I guess, life since we had our second son. We went to Africa. Third daughter had her first birthday in India, Indonesia, all over the place. So we've kind of led this missional life, and kids have just kept coming along. We have our Jerusalem baby, Mia. She was born in Jerusalem, so that was pretty cool. She's over there somewhere. She'll probably be up and back. Yeah, that's our family, and I'm just going to go super quick through a bit of an introduction about us, and then we'll get to what's kind of happening in our part of the world that we're living in. So I came to the Lord when I was 25. Didn't have a Christian upbringing in the slightest. In fact, I was pretty far off the rails at one point. Loved sport, got into drinking at a very young age, drugs, all that sort of stuff, until I was 25, and I just hit rock bottom after rock bottom. Until I thought my life is just completely worthless and what am I doing here? And then God just prompted me in my heart one night, you should go to church the next day. And I was under the influence of a lot of, but the next morning I woke up and I went to this church. And I was so broken, I was so desperate for my life to change, but I just could not seem to get my life back on track, whatever that meant. So I went to this church and they just shared this gospel message about Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past, God will forgive you. He'll give you a new heart and a new life. And all this stuff he's saying, I'm just like, oh, I need that so much. That sounds like that's for me. And so I gave my life to the Lord and God just changed my life. I had no withdrawal symptoms or anything. I just stopped living the life I was doing over a period of a couple of weeks. Praise God. I moved back into my parents' house and we reconciled because my dad was pretty exhausted with having a son who's off the rails and he's trying to, you know, get me back on track, but couldn't seem anything to work. Anyway, met Jesus, life changed. Met my wife in 2009. We got married pretty shortly after that. Went to Bible college, did a Bachelor of Arts in Ministry. We joined Youth With A Mission in 2015. And yeah, we've been part of Youth With A Mission ever since. We got this calling to the Middle East probably early on. On our very first date, we I said to her, you know, I feel like I'm going to be living overseas doing something that means something in the future. And that's all I knew as maybe a 6-month-old believer. But I wanted to make sure she's on the same page. And she said, yes, she's also feels this calling to go to another people. And so that started us off on this track. So a few years later, we went to the Middle East on a scouting trip. and had an incredible time, met the team with Youth With A Mission that works there in Israel. I think I'm going to be a little bit open. I'm still nervous because I thought we're on Facebook, but we're totally cool. Otherwise, I would have omitted certain things, but now I can just... So, yeah, went to Israel. Bethlehem, you've probably heard of. Our team is there, has a small base of operations there. So we went there. It was all amazing. We thought, yes, this is where God's calling us. So we came back. We served on the base with YWAM in Perth for another couple of years, and then we made the move. And we've been there since 2017. We came back, got a little bit stuck with COVID situation here, but we're planning to get back in just a few weeks, hopefully the end of January, start of February. Everything's looking great. We've got our Israeli permit or our Israeli visa that we can go back into the country, so we're pretty good to go. So that's a bit about us, and I just want to take a bit of a few minutes just to kind of give you a summary of what's happening with the global church, particularly in the Middle East, but also with the Western church as well, if you like. And it's going to start off a bit of a downer as we look at some things, and then I'm going to bring it back up and we're all going to feel really encouraged. But as we're looking at like the Western church, if you all know what I mean by that, Western countries, America, Australia, England, UK, Canada, etc. The church, if we look at it statistically, that church, the Western church, is on the decline, unfortunately, a little bit, not hugely, but a few percent a year going down. If we look at in the USA as well, 350,000 churches, and less than 1% of those churches is actually growing by conversion growth. So people are born into the church. Like, I feel like I've done my bit for getting more people into the church as far as family, but we really, the goal is that people who don't know Jesus will come into the church and be radically saved and make disciples who make other disciples and so on. And so that's the state of the church in the US, slowly on the decline. So the church in the West in general, not in the best shape. However, it's not all bad news. The church in other parts of the world is rapidly exploding. And there's this weird phenomena I'm not sure if you're aware of, but as governments and nations attempt to oppress the gospel or oppress the church, God does this incredible thing where he just explodes the church. And so we look at some of the most persecuted places to be a Christian in the world, North Korea, China, a lot of countries in the Middle East, Iran, and we're seeing massive explosion of new believers, Muslim background believers or atheists, in if you're talking about China, coming to the Lord in really radical ways. And then this discipleship making movement happening where other people are coming to the Lord, and it's all house church underground movements happening. And it's really exciting. And so as one part of the world is kind of going down, I'll say just temporarily going down, other parts of the world, God is really doing incredible things amongst some of the most persecuted believers in the world. Afghanistan, Iraq, Kurdistan, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, many other nations are seeing this underground movement taking place, even in Africa and parts of South America, huge explosion of the church, which is really exciting to see. And I think in the days coming ahead, this is probably the point I wanted to make about giving you these statistics. In the days coming ahead, we're going to look to these churches and to these movements, and we're going to be able to glean from them and get strategies for our own churches. How do we grow our own churches? Because what these guys are doing is just truly incredible. And I know back in the day, we had people like John Bevere, maybe a Bill Johnson, all incredible men of God that we probably all have been inspired by, maybe in some sense. And we've looked at these people. How do we grow spiritually? How do we learn? John Bevere had so much teaching about purity and stuff like that. But then as we're moving forward and as nations change and even Australia's changed, the older generation, you would have been able to give more of a hindsight how much Australia has changed over the last few years. We're going to look to people who are unnamed. They're not famous celebrity preachers. They're not famous people. They're underground, small house church, fully committed to the gospel to the point of death. We're going to look to these people and say, how do we grow like you guys have grown? How do we do church the way that you guys are doing church? Because these parts of the world, just take Iran for example, a church is exploding. And there's a friend of ours in Israel who made a documentary, if you wanted to know more about it. It's called Sheep Among Wolves, or Sheep Among Wolves Volume 2. There's two of them. And it's about the Iranian church. And they're seeing people from all sorts of backgrounds. Some people have had meth labs that they've grown in their house, and they've been prostitutes, they've been murderers. People with this type of background having radical encounters with Jesus and starting churches, underground house churches, that are in the thousands or tens of thousands of people. And so this is what God's doing in this part of the world. And I think we can learn a lot from the people that there, because once we hear the stories of people like that, suddenly you realize a lot of things I do in my life is actually not that important. And maybe I'm focusing too much on doing this or even how we do church. And can we actually step back for a minute and say, what are the things that are really important for us to have a great community together, a great fellowship, getting around the word together? I loved what you were saying before about simplicity and getting around the world. You can get around the world if you want. Simple worship. It's just getting back to the things that give us that spiritual nourishment and growth. And this is what's happening in other parts of the world. There's no highly trained pastor or academic scholar among these people. They're very untrained, yet they open up the Word of God, they read it, they obey it, and they go and preach it, even in the face of possible death. And I'll give you one just quick story before I move on. That in Iran, you may know there's many secret police. They're not actually police, but they're citizens that will dob someone in for something and get the actual police to come. And we face this also in Bethlehem. Our next door neighbor is an ex-Palestinian, I don't even know what they call him, like a secret service. I don't know what we'd have in Australia. ASIO we have, like the cyber security intelligence division. This guy was an ex-Palestinian cyber intelligence guy, and now he's retired and he lives next door to us, which is funny. But people like that are in Iran, and if they see some disorder happening or the Muslim culture and standard is not being followed, then they can dob you in. And so a lot of the new believers that are coming to the Lord are having to have conversations with their wife that you think you would never have this conversation ever. But they sit down and they come up with this plan. If the secret police come to the door, I won't say too much, I just noticed the amount of kids here. The secret police will come to the door, the husband and wife will have this conversation. If they come in and they realize we are now Christians, as the husband, what do you want me to do? The police are probably going to do something really horrible. And then this is the types of conversations they have. And some of the women that have been interviewed in this documentary that I was telling you about that a friend of ours made, they just said, we call it just our sacrifice to the Lord, that we've laid down our lives completely and whatever happens to us, happens to us, and we'll continue to serve the Lord even unto death. And I think this is a type of following Jesus that is going to be required in the days ahead, is this all out, laid down, surrender to God, obedience to him and to his word. And this is the things we're going to be able to learn from these parts of the world in the days ahead. And so if you want to look more into that, like I said, Sheep Among Wolves, it's free. I think it's on YouTube even. You can jump on and have a look at it. But it's really, really amazing. So yeah, to finish off, it's clear throughout history that as we look at these miraculous movements that have taken place in our part of the world, but also in other parts of the world as well, this famous quote, you don't always get disciples when you plant churches, but if you make disciple-making disciples, if you know what I mean by that, disciples who make disciples, you will always get the church as Jesus intended it. And so something that we're really excited about in the Middle East and the church that we're a part of in the Middle East, in the underground church, is we're making disciples who want to go and make disciples of others. And some people are 2 weeks old believer, 5 year old believer, 10, like it doesn't matter. If they want to read the word of God, come under the authority of the Word of God and then want to go share it with people, they can be a disciple maker. And so I might get into some stories of what's happening in the local church in Israel in just a moment. So I'm just going to try and finish off this for time's sake. Okay, cool. All right. I think we're up to slide 5. Sorry, I got completely lost then. If we could jump forward a few slides. Go forward a bit more. And one more. And, all right, ignore that until I get to there. Sorry about that. Okay, so treasuring the Great Commission in the days ahead. That's what I wanted to just briefly share with you before we get to our report. We have this incredible gift that God has given us, and it's the gospel of Jesus, and it's the life-saving, you guys all know this, heart-transforming, mind-transforming, life-transforming thing that we have. And I experienced this in my own life, as I'm sure all of you guys did here too, that Jesus, although I lived this life that wasn't pleasing to God, he forgave me and he gave me this new life, and now I can walk with him and I have this most incredible gift ever. But God didn't say, just receive that gift and then sit happy for the rest of your life. He gave us this great commission, this going out into the world, wherever that is for you and wherever that God has led you, go out into the world and share the things that Jesus has taught his disciples. Share this great gospel message of Jesus to anyone and everyone, because the gospel is for everyone. And it says at the end of Romans 10, chapter 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Paul goes on before that to say, it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, that everyone is, that this gospel message is for everyone. And so whether it's the Muslim people that we are ministering to in the Middle East, whether it's your next door neighbor, whoever it is, the gospel message is for everyone. So next slide, thanks for that. So we have the what, the gospel message of Jesus. This is the most precious thing in the world that we have. And we have the who's it for? It's for everyone. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how do we do this? This is the thing. How do we do this? And I think the most important thing for us is to pray earnestly for a divine strategy on how we reach the lost. And so how we would pray in different parts of the Middle East and the strategies that we may get to reach the lost might be different to the strategies that you get here. But we can definitely encourage each other along the way and share what God has been doing and how we've been able to reach people and you've been able to reach people and build the church and encourage each other in that way. But to first of all get the prayer, the word from the Lord. God, how do we reach Maruya? How do we reach this region? And give us a strategy on how we can do that. Next slide, thanks. And this is, I think, the passage for the season. Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And so this, how will they know, call, it's really got my heart back in the early days. I'm sitting in Bible college. The lecturer is going across like the 1040 window, if you know this missional term. It's pretty much the most unreached nations of the world live in what they call the 1040 window. So starting at maybe Japan and China and then going across Central Asia, India, all the stands, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, across the Middle East, to even North Africa, Egypt, Libya, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco. They call this the 1040 window because the most unreached people who don't know Jesus, and two-thirds of the world's poor live in this 1040 window. And when the lecturer, he was showing this on the board and he's going across and he's showing the percentage of missionaries that go to these parts of the world. And we have so many missionaries in highly reached places that have dire social economic needs, which is awesome. We have extreme poverty in parts of Africa. They may be a Christian nation, but definitely need workers to go and to serve and help establish some kind of community development in those places as well. But then we have this unreached part of the world where we have extreme or high poverty. We also have no gospel witness and no one going to these places. So it's quite a dilemma because you may remember in Mark it says the gospel will go to every nation and then the end will come. So there's a kind of a bursting out of the churches that is going to happen in the coming months, years. The people are going to get out into the most unreached places. And of course, there's places in Moruya where people haven't heard the gospel. And I think that just the difference is, like in my town, I'm from Buninyong, Victoria, about 3,000 people, and there's literally four or five churches in the town. And so there is and that's the difference between an unreached place and maybe a place that people don't know Jesus, but there is a possibility that they could, and thankfully there are churches established where people are able to share. But in these parts of the world, the countries that I just named and across the Middle East, no church witness, poverty, no way that the gospel can advance in these places, and so we call this unreached. And these are the places that I think we're going to see the biggest push towards to see the Great Commission fulfilled. And to see the return of the Lord is that the gospel goes out to these places and then Jesus returns. So to finish up, I'm so sorry, I'm going to go a tiny bit. Okay. So we have the most incredible truth in all of history, that God, not only did he create everything, but he so loved the world, like we were sharing before, that whoever should believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. This is just amazing truth that we have. And if we receive this truth and we're walking with him, then we're eternally blessed and we can rest assured if we stick the course that we will be saved and that we will be with him forever. But then God gives this last call as Jesus did before he left the disciples. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and he will be with us. And so this Great Commission call is just at the core of our heart, I think, as mission workers, my wife and I, and something that we reconcile to God. We're just going to lay our life down for this cause, that the gospel needs to go to these parts of the world. And of course, not everyone's called to Israel or to Egypt or to wherever we may be, but God has given this conviction that the gospel must go out. And who is going to go? That was from my lecture. God just really convicted me as they're going through all these nations and there's no one going to these countries. I just felt this like Isaiah 9:6 call. Who will go for me? Who will go to these places? And I just secretly put my hand up in the lecture thing. I'm just like, I'll go, God. And that was it. And God just put us on this journey of surrendering to him, laying down our lives, believing that he has our six children in his hand and that he's protecting us and that we'll have this peace that surpasses all understanding, even as things are chaos has been happening in Israel while we've been in the land and we've had to, it's a whole other story, but God gives us this peace that he will be with us. And so I just want to give you super brief bit of a report. If we could jump to the next PowerPoint let's stop there. So this is just my little action step of how do we implement maybe some of the things that I was talking about. So first, know God. Make him known. It's a bit of a YWAM thing. That's our motto, but I'm going to pinch it. So we want to know God. We want to make him known. We want to get into the harvest, wherever that may be for you. And we want to send someone as well, which you guys are doing incredibly at as well. And small insider tip, if you didn't know this, we go to a fair few churches and share, and not everyone has a missional heart, maybe to their community and also to other parts of the world as well. So you guys are doing amazing. It's not normal, if I can say that with still being respectful, it's not normal that people have such a missional heart. And so I just think that's amazing of you guys, and that's the steps that I want to follow. I want to know God intimately myself. I want to make him known. I want to get into the harvest and I want to send someone as well. There's places we would love to be, Syria, for example, but we just can't get in there. But we know there's YWAM people, Syrians, who are in Syria, and so we want to be a blessing and support to them as well. So we all have the things God's put on our heart that we want to support and sow into that are all incredible things. And so that's it. If we could jump to the next PowerPoint, and this is just complete finish off. I'm so sorry. And if Jen's here, not sure where she's gone. Okay. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I need you, Jen. Come quickly. All right. So we're just going to roll through some pictures just while I'm talking. I'd love to just, every picture has a story and I'd love to just share it. But for time's sake, I'm just going to give you a brief ministry update just so you know what we've been up to. So first 3 years, 2017 to 2019, sorry, 2 and a bit years, we moved to Israel with our 4 kids. We went to Bethlehem. And if you don't know, Bethlehem is completely Palestinian Muslim town. Everyone speaks Arabic. No one speaks Hebrew. So we learnt Arabic. No Israelis are allowed to come into this town. It's called Area A. It's like off limits, if you like, to Israelis. So we moved to this town where our office was, and rent was very cheap, so that helped. But we began language learning. We began teaching English. That was my visa. So we have a couple of refugee camps in town. We have our office right there, and we teach English there and also in other parts of the territories. And we use that as a way to bless the community, but also to make relationship and have opportunities to share the gospel with people. We host teams of YWAMers. We do, like in YWAM, you do this discipleship training 3 months at a base somewhere in the world, and then you go on outreach for 3 months, pretty much solo as a team, off you go, and you go and share the gospel and do a whole bunch of stuff. So a lot of people want to come to Israel, and so we help host the teams. We do ministry things together. We go to just different towns and go and share the gospel, do just worship things on the street and a whole bunch of stuff. And the main part of our ministry probably as well is we deliver wheelchairs, I think over 1,000 a year. That's another community of believers, the Mennonites. They bring these wheelchairs into the country and then we take them to these rural towns who most of them have never seen a doctor before, and we bring wheelchairs. We sit in the home. The Arabic culture is so friendly, so we chat and they want to know why you're here, and we just get to share about Jesus. They want to ask questions about the Bible and stuff like that. And it's such a privileged scenario that you would never get on the street. But because we're bringing this gift to the household, we're able to share the gospel and see the beginnings of discipleship happening among the Muslim population, which is really incredible. And so far, praise God, with little to no persecution. Our leader who pioneers this ministry, his car got burnt on purpose a few years back. But apart from that, there's just been such an openness of people to want to know about Jesus and want to know about the Bible, but can't do it in a public space. But when we're in people's homes, there's just this openness to want to share. So you can jump in whenever you want. Okay. That's been, I guess, our ministry. And for me personally, probably finding the difficult, challenging parts of the country or our area and just asking God, how can we bring the gospel to these places? And then just kind of being led in that as well. And so we have a discipleship school that we do with YWAM, as I was saying, in different places. We also run that in Jerusalem. So we have a school in Jerusalem, a school in Nazareth up in the north. And we call it the One New Man. And the goal is Arab, Israelis, Christians, Messianic Jews, that they're coming together, doing this discipleship training together, learning about the heart of God, worship, prayer, intercession, healing, repentance, stuff like that. And they go through that together as one new man, if you like, hence the name. So did you want to just briefly share about Shine?
So some of you may know Shine, actually pioneered in Hillsong Church. So that's one of the things I've really enjoyed being a part of in Bethlehem, is being part of the Shine course that we've run four times in the refugee camps, which is just beautiful. I love women. Women are incredible. And telling women how incredible they are is just such a privilege, because the course teaches them about their worth and their strength and their purpose in a culture where their value is not the same as what I've grown up believing about myself. So to look women in the eye and tell them that their creator made them completely unique, and for them to look at their own fingerprints and to see that they're completely one of a kind, and that they are strong and that they have a purpose and that's why God created them, is amazing. And you can tell that they've not heard it before. And it's also exciting to know that they then speak these words over their girls. Yeah, I've really loved being involved in that.
And so 2022 and beyond, which you guys are a part of, which is amazing. And you know from the Word of God that we all play our part. Some person is a foot, some is a hand. We're very blessed that we're able to be the hands. We can go and touch and be in that place. But there's people who send us, there's people who mentor, there's people who pray. There's a whole bunch of people who make up the gospel going out into the Middle East and into some of the most challenging places, and you guys are a part of that as well. That's on the way to Egypt, as you can see on the map. It's horrendously hot through the desert, and then just many security checks, passport checks. So 2022 and beyond, we're returning to the Middle East, like I said, God willing, in the next few weeks. Month. Yeah, by February, that's our goal. Who knows, you know, COVID, you can't even plan tomorrow. I just hope I can get back to Victoria first and then we'll go. But we're going back into the Middle East, back into the unreached Muslim world. And we have this message of hope that we all carry. And if we can just get to those places, bring this message of hope that Jesus saves and that Jesus forgives and that Jesus gives new life. And he is the only way to heaven. And is the only way to God is through Jesus. And so we carry this hope. So we're going to take the gospel to the lost, make disciples who make disciples, as I was saying earlier. We want to serve the persecuted church in Egypt, which we're hoping to get some more, some good updates to you guys once we're established and on the ground and we're able to just kind of document how the church is living in Egypt. In some places, it's like Cairo, big city, there's not too much drama. But as you go south, into Upper Egypt, down, the church is heavily persecuted in some of the cities there, and places are bombed and all sorts of things. So we want to go and be able to serve and work with the persecuted church and worship, pray, intercede on the ground. And we've seen, I think, through our own life and through our time in the Middle East, the prayer, worship, intercession is so powerful. And it's kind of the thing you think you would do first. And if whenever there's trouble in your life, you think you would go straight to the prayer closet and just cry out to God. But sometimes we don't do that first of all. And I know in my own life, it's the most attacked part of my life because it is so powerful. Because prayer and worship and adoration to the Lord changes things in your own life and in the world around you. And so we want to be able to stand on the ground in the Muslim world and declare the name of Jesus through prayer, worship, intercession as well. And so I'll leave you with Romans 10:14 again. How will they call on him in whom they haven't believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good things. Would you like to say anything? Yeah, sure.
There you go. Thanks so much. That was so interesting. It's amazing. And I know it might sound easy and look easy, but I know it hasn't been easy for you guys at times. I've seen your emails that you update us with. So I think, Gordon and Sylvie, would you like to come and pray for this couple and this family? Come on, children. We're going to pray for you guys. And I've got a little gift here for you for coming today. Thank you. And I just feel that if anyone else would like to contribute, if you pop it in our offering box up the back, we can make sure that gets passed on. Sylvia and Gordon are elders in our church. And because you had a word for them, Gordon or Sylvie, would you like to pray for this couple?
Father, we live a life which is not made by us. but made by your Spirit, Father. And I see a time